It's good to see everyone this morning. Does anyone know where we're at? We're in the ninth chapter, that's right. We're in the ninth chapter. We're at in the ninth chapter. We're talking about the sixth trumpet. What's going on during the sixth trumpet? A whole lot. What? Mayhem. Well, you've been watching that commercial. Look out for mayhem. The sixth trumpet sounds, and a voice comes from around the golden altar. You remember that? And what does the voice say? Don't be looking, look up. I want you to know this, not read it. If I wanted to read it, I'd read it. What does the voice say? It says, loose the four angels which are in... Thank you, brother. See how easy this is? You don't have to read. I want you to know it. Loose the four angels which are in the river Euphrates. And then what happened? I knew you'd pick up on that. If God says loose them, they're going to be loosed. And it means that they were chained evidently, they were bound evidently, in some way they were held. But God says let them out. Now he said let them out because they are prepared angels. Remember? Then we said the word prepared means to be made ready. They are prepared for an
hour,
a month, and a year. Now, and when they are loosed, what happens? Well, that's in there. But what is the very next verse say? It says, and I saw the number of them. The number of the army or the horsemen and the horses was 200,000. Thousand, which is 200 million. Now, that's not... Now, if you will, I want you to turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 19. Now, what is going on in Genesis chapter 19? Well, I'll tell you how you can remember. What comes before 19? Okay. So if I tell you what's in 18, I'll guarantee you're going to know what's in 19, right? In 18, Abraham is sitting in his tent door, and he sees three strangers coming. And it says that he immediately goes and runs and greets them and bids them in to eat. And he says, kill the fatted calf. And they made this great meal. And you remember one of the three made a profound statement about what would happen 9 months later. No. Sarah would conceive and bear a child. And do you remember what happened after that? She laughed. Why did she laugh?
Because she's old.
Boy, you all figured that out, didn't you? That's all we got in here is old. Crying out loud. I knew you'd all get that. She laughed because it says she was past that stage of life. Now she laughed because she was looking humanly. Any of us would laugh, folks. If you told a 90-year-old woman that 9 months later she would bear a child, we would all laugh. Let's don't condemn her for being human. The Lord didn't. He just simply said, "Why did you laugh?" And she says, "Uh-oh. I didn't." He said, "Oh, yes, you did." And then he says this, "Is there anything impossible with God?" Sarah, you think this impossible. Is there anything impossible with the Lord, with God? What's the answer? No. Listen, if God says you're going to have a child 9 months later, start planning. If he says it's going to be a boy, make it blue. If he says it's going to be a girl, make it pink. But start planning. Because if he says it, it won't be 10 months and it won't be 8 months. It'll be 9 months, because that's exactly what happened. So now what happens in chapter 19? Well, if you remember in chapter 18, he says, "Can I go down to a certain city and not tell my friend what I'm going to do?" So he tells him that he's going down, and he's heard that Sodom and Gomorrah is wicked, vilely wicked. And I'm going down to see if it's what I've heard. And Abraham says, "Wait a minute, Lord." And then he begins to make his request. Remember that? And he goes from 52:5. He goes from 50, pre-adventure, he says, "If by chance you find 50 righteous, are we spared the city?" "Yeah, I'll spare it for you, Abraham, if I find 50. Now, did God know there wasn't 50 down there? Certainly. But he's listening to his friend. He calls him a friend. He says, listen, when we pray to God, we ought to understand he's our friend. He's listening. He already knows that we're asking for something foolishly, because we don't know. Abraham didn't know if it's 50 there. He was just hoping. He'd heard about, what does that tell you? He'd heard about their wickedness too. Otherwise, he'd have started out much higher. I mean, even Abraham didn't have a whole lot of faith in them. He said, "Lord, if it's 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. The same answer each time. What was it? "Yes, thank you, honey." Same answer each time. And he gets down and he says, "Lord, bear with me just a minute. I don't want to tarry on this, and I don't want to weary you. But if it's just 5, I don't know if it's the way God was answering that he knew the way the answer came real quickly. Maybe there's not that many there." He said, "Lord, if there be 5, and he said, "Yeah. If there be 5, I'll spare them." Now, I want you to file that, because I'm going to come back to it, okay? "If there be 5, will you spare them?" And he said, "Yes." Remember that?
Yes.
And then what happens? Well, the 3 of them go off, right? And it says in chapter 19 that Lot was sitting in the evening in the gate of Sodom when the 2 strangers approached. How many met Abraham? How many met Lot? Well, we know there's a difference, don't we? So Lot says, "Oh, I don't know if he recognized they were godly men. I don't know how he did." Listen, the Bible says he was a righteous man. His soul was vexed daily down there. You know, you get a lot of people condemn him for being there. I don't. Says his righteous soul. Listen, my righteous soul's vexed every day. Bless God, I hate this place. But I'm here. You know, I'm here. I'm in the world, but I'm not. So my righteous soul's vexed every day. His soul was vexed every day, and he says, come in, come in. He knew the wickedness of that city, folks. He says, come into my house. Come into my house. And as they go to the house, y'all remember what happened. The men of the city, it says, compassed them about. Now, that's where I want to pick up, because I want to read this to you. Pardon me. I want to read this to you. Are you there in 19? Okay. And when the morning arose, then the... No, pardon me. I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong place. Verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides... No, that's not where I'm at either. I'm sorry. I'll find it in a second where I want to be. Verse 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And I told y'all that. And he said, behold, now my lords turn in. I told y'all that. Verse 3. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, just like Abraham did. He was hospitable. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house about, both old and young. What does that tell you? That this wickedness was total. It wasn't just one segment of them. It was all of them, both old and young. All the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto thee, that we may know them. And Lot went out unto the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly, because they've come under my roof. And verse 9, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn. Now listen to this. If this don't remind you of today, bless God, you're not paying attention to me, and you're not paying attention to what's going on in the world. And they said, stand back. This one fellow, who are they talking about? Who's the one fellow there? Lot, you've come down here to our city. This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a... He's going to judge us. Folks, if that don't remind you of what's going on today, what do they say about us? We're judging them. They'd be wrong. I'm praying for them. I'm not judging anyone, folks. God said don't. But that their attitude is, if you point out our wrong, not that you're better than us, but if you, through the word of God, point out that we're wrong, you're judging us. And who are you to judge us? Isn't that what it's saying? Well, sure it is. Sure it is. So it's the same attitude then as it is now. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the men, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand. Who's the men now? That's the two angels. Put forth their hand and pull Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door with, but both small and great, so that they... If you want to know how far in sin they'd gone, how far down in wickedness they had gone, all you need do is look right there. Even after they're struck blind, they're still trying to get in that door. That's what it says. It just doesn't say they were trying to get in. It says they wearied themselves. They wore themselves out trying to get in because of their wickedness. They had no control over the wickedness now. Remember what God had said to Abraham? I've come to see if the wickedness is as I heard. Who'd you hear it from? Huh? Honey, I'll give me that hand. I'll tell you, you get an A, you're the only one who came up with that. Listen, if Lot's soul was vexed daily, don't you know he's praying to God for the wickedness? And God says, well, I'll just come down there, take care of it then. My servant's been talking to me. So they wearied themselves to get at them. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law? And thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. In other words, listen, you got any other family here, Lot? And he said, well, I got two daughters and their husbands. And they said, well, you go get them. Now, Lot can go get them. Why? These men are blind. They can't see Lot going anywhere. Lot's free now to go get them. And he goes and tries to get them. But the Bible says they mocked him. Oh, that'd be sad, wouldn't it? Huh? Listen, if God's so, and this is purely hypothetical, and bear with me. If God so let you know that in 1 hour he's going to destroy this world, and I want you to go get your children in and bring them to safety, and you go out, you've tried to live right in front of them, you've told them about the Lord, and they mock you. Don't tell me that wouldn't be like a knife sticking in you. But that's what happened to Lot. They wouldn't come. And so he goes back. And he's tarrying. He's stalling. Why is he stalling? Got to give you an A, honey. Y'all are picking up what I'm putting down now. Listen, I'm not in here just teaching, just hear myself roar. Lot's back there tarrying. His wife looked back because their children are there. And Lot knows now, when those men were struck blind, Lot knows that what these men said is true, and he's tarrying. He's trying to stall for time. And they said, listen, Lot, you got to go, son. You got to go. Well, you say, Tom, I don't know if it says there or not. Well, let's see if it did. I think I read it. I'm like Judge Judy. I think I read your complaint. Let me see if I did. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened, Lot saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquitous city. Is that what he said? Yes. And while he... That's the only reason, folks, he could be lingering. I mean, if somebody tells me this place is going to get hit with brimstone, I love you all. I'll be the first one out that door. Or try to, right? Not with so with Lot. He's lingering. He wants his daughters to come. He wants his son-in-law. He knows if they'll come there, they'll be delivered. We know if they'll come to Christ, they will be delivered. Don't stop. It's our only hope. And he says, arise, take thy wife and thy son. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. You know, you can't linger anymore, son. Let's go. They grab hold of him. They grab hold of his wife. They grab hold of his daughters. And they're getting out of there. Folks, there's coming a time. You may be wanting to stay for your family. But there's coming a time that when God says it's over, he's going to send them mighty angels. They're going to grab us, and out of here we're going. And so he says, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. Boy, that ought to fire everybody up in here. The Lord being merciful. You say, well, why wasn't he merciful to the daughters and the son-in-laws? They wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't believe it. God's merciful to anyone that'll come to him. You know, I taught Wednesday night up for my brother Dave. He had some surgery, and I filled in for him. And I taught on Isaiah 55. come. Everyone. Now that's where the world wants to be. But that's not what it says. Come everyone that is thirsty. And come everyone that hath no money. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. See, the Bible is very, it qualifies everything. It's not just everyone. It's everyone that believeth. It's everyone that thirsteth. It's everyone that's poor. If you'll come, I'll help you. But if you're not thirsty, and if you're not poor, and I'm not, I'm just pointing, you know, I'm a pointer. I can't help you. He can't help the sons and the daughter-in-laws. I mean, the son-in-laws and daughters. He can't help them. They didn't believe. And the boy being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Now he goes on, and they go out, and y'all know the part up there, that as they're going out, he says, now don't look back. I have trouble here. I don't care to tell you I have trouble here. I struggle with this. I'm not a mother. But I know the love of a mother. And I got to believe the reason that Lot's wife looked back, you know, I have a lot of people say she looked back because she was tied to that world. No, I believe she had a love for her children. And even though the Lord said, don't look back, I believe that she looked back and said, my daughters. But see, God's a God of his word. He said, don't look back. Her love for her daughters didn't matter. God said, don't look back. And she looked back and she became a pillar of salt. And then Lot begins to plead. Remember the angel said, flee into the mountains? And he says, oh, peradventure, I can't go to the mountains lest some evil befall me. There might be an animal there to eat me up. I can't live in the mountains. He says, what about that little old city of Zoar over there? It's but a little place. Can't you spare the little place? Now, I got to pick up there because this is so good. You may shout. I turned the page, I'm sorry. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. It's just a little one. And my soul, I can live there. I can live in that city. Now, I want you to notice something. Who brought them out? How many? And when it spoke about the angels, it talked about they, right? Oh, I want to show you something. How many went down there? Huh? Three went down there. Well, let's see where that third one comes into play. And he said unto him, see, I've accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Who's talking to him? Oh, the same one that talked to Abraham that said 9 months from now, Sarah's going to have a child. The same one said, okay, I've accepted your request. You go to that little city of Zoar. I tell you what, I woke up at 1:30 this morning, like I do many times, and this started coming to me. It was It was amazing. My mind went back to Noah and how the door to the ark stayed open for 120 years and 7 days. And how it came to this time, and how now it's not a door and an ark, but it's a little city that would provide safety. The city of Zoar was acceptable. The door of the ark was open until it wasn't. And Zoar was acceptable here to spare him. And he says this, Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything until thou come out. I. Well, wasn't it I who came and told Abraham, I've come down to see? And doesn't the Bible say that all judgment is given unto the Son? Listen, God's not going to send angels to judge this world. God's going to use angels to get his children out, but he's also going to use angels to punish. Here the angels have delivered the righteous. Now God's getting ready to do something. And here's what I want you to notice. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered unto. I can't do anything until you're safe. Where was the place of safety for Lot? Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew up upon the ground. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Why does it take you there? Why are we going back to Abraham all of a sudden? What was Abraham's prayer? Lord, if there be 50. Finally, he said, Lord, if there be 5. How many went out? Less than 5. Abraham got up early, it says, and looked towards Sodom. Why did he do that? To see if they was 5. Because he knew his nephew Lot was a righteous man. And he says, oh, I got to see if Lot's spared. But there has to be 5. No, that was what Abraham said. I want you to notice this. This is so good. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this, as far as I'm concerned. He says, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. His heart must have went plumb down because now his nephew is gone. Because God said, I'll spare that city if there be 5. Right? So Abraham's got to be thinking. He's got to be thinking, boy, if I see the smoke going up, God's destroyed that place so there wasn't 5, so they're all done. Oh, but read that next verse. Whew, this is better than I know how. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered. You know what? It's as if God says, Abraham, you could have went on down to 4, son. You could have went on down to 1. Because I was never, ever going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. Isn't that wonderful? God knoweth how to deliver the righteous out of temptation. That's what the Bible says. And it says, God remembered Abraham. Listen, folks, the next time you pray and you think you're at the end of the prayer and you think there's no answer to the prayer and you think that the answer's never going to come, just keep praying. God will remember you. God will answer you. He knows more than us. He sees more than us. But what was it that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Huh? No, what was it that destroyed them? Thank you. God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven. Do you realize you won't find one bit? They say, I don't know, they say that it's at the bottom of the Dead Sea are the remains of Sodom and Gomorrah. They say. I don't know who they is, and I don't care who they is. It's gone. These four angels bring a 200 million demonic army for one reason. Someone answered it earlier. You did. To slay. Remember that word? I gave you that word. Not to kill. Kill is just, you know, just a kill. But slay means to violently kill. And to slay 1/3 of mankind. And how does he do it? He does it with fire, smoke, and brimstone. Now, I read commentaries galore. And all of them says, well, that can only be done through nuclear warfare. Well, the last time I checked, they didn't have any nuclear weapons in Sodom and Gomorrah. God just went, and fire and brimstone come out and they're gone. Well, guess what? When these four angels are loosed and the 200 million demonic army of these demonic horses, you say, what's a demonic horse? I don't know. But I know one thing, that 1/3 of mankind is killed by demonic horses. Not the riders, the horses. For out of their mouth proceedeth fire, the smoke, and the brimstone. And it says, and by these three was 1/3 of men killed. You say, Tom, that's awful. I say, that's not the worst of it. The worst of it's what it says later. And man repented not. That's what it says. I'm going to read it to you. We can go back to Revelation now. By the way, somebody go to Isaiah 56 and 12, whoever can. I'll pull a Dan. And let me know when you get there. Are you there? What does it say, huh? Read it. Out loud now. That is the mindset of the wicked. If you read that, if you read that whole chapter, that's the mindset of the wicked. That was the mindset of the rich man who said, soul, thou hast much goods laid up in store. take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be. But the next verse says what? But God said. You remember back when the sun came up on Sodom? When destruction came? Don't you know that the night before, they all had plans for tomorrow? Just like today, folks. Listen, the Bible says for a reason, boast not of tomorrow. Say not tomorrow we'll go here, or we'll go there, but say if the Lord will. But see, the world doesn't see it that way. The world believes in global warming because the world believes that the world's going to continue on and one day is going to be just like the next day and just like the next day and we just keep right on going, so we got to save this planet because they're all going to be alike. Well, God said to that man who thought he had everything he needed, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, thou, in other words, Becky, he says this, your mindset is foolish. For you to think that you can just get intoxicating beverages and get drunk because tomorrow is just going to be like the next day and it doesn't matter. Or because people are eating and drinking. Because it says, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. For they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage because they thought life was just going to keep right on going. They didn't listen in Sodom. And they didn't listen when a third of mankind is killed. They didn't repent for one reason and one reason only. What is that? It says they repented not of the worship of idols, of gold, of silver, of brass, of wood, of idols that can't see, nor hear, nor speak. Neither repented they of their evil deeds. Neither repented they of their murders, their fornication. Listen, this world is hell-bent on sex right now. And they're going to do it their way. Any old way they want to. If they want to live outside of marriage, they're going to live outside of marriage. Because tomorrow will be just like today. But one day, tomorrow won't be like today. But they repented not. And I've got a saying that I put in my Bible. You can put it down if you want to. They would not because they could not. And they could not because they would not. When they had an opportunity, they would not. Now they cannot. Because you can't ever convince me that seeing one third of humankind destroyed in such a violent way that they wouldn't know that it's from God. But you see, man misses it here, brother. Man seems to think that man can do it under man's terms. I'll get right when it's convenient for me to get right. I'll get right when I want to get right. I'll hear God when I choose to hear God. No, bless God, you won't. The Bible says if you're not drawn, you're not coming. And there's coming a time when God will draw no one. And they can't repent. They didn't repent because they couldn't repent. And they couldn't because they wouldn't when they had the chance. Listen, I'm telling you, and I'll say it every week, I wish somebody would listen. It is a dangerous, dangerous thing to hear the gospel in this church, lost, and go out those doors thinking that tomorrow is going to be like today and I'll do it tomorrow. There's a song in our songbook that sometimes we sing. Careless soul, why will you linger? Wandering from the throne of God. Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. It's a dangerous thing to not hear God. Because he says, one of these days, you'll call, and I won't hear. Because when I called, you did not hear. Don't ever tell someone, I beg you, well, I'm praying that you'll get right tomorrow. Today is the day, it says. If you will hear the Lord today, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, as they did in the wilderness when they angered me. It's a thing of today, folks. Now is the time of grace. Remember what it said about Lot? The Lord was merciful to him. Remember what it said about Noah? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Today is the day. Today's when we hear. Today's when we repent. Today, because I'm telling you, in one of two ways, we may not see tomorrow. I told you about my very, very good friend. Just 2 weeks ago, he and I were playing golf, laughing, having a good time. He's a good Christian man. And I called him to see if we were going to play on Saturday a week ago, I believe it was, because we play on Saturday mornings. And because he told me he'd been in Florida to a convention. And I said, did your convention go? I said, good. And he said, well, Tom, he said, I didn't go. He said, you probably don't know. I said, don't know what? He said, I've got metastatic cancer. 2 days after we were playing, he's shaving. He feels a little knot right here. He says, I don't feel right. So he waits a few more days and he goes to the doctor. Doctor says, I don't think that's anything. I don't think that's anything to worry about. He says, well, let's do an MRI just to be safe. So he did an MRI. He comes into the room. He says, I don't think it's anything. He said, I don't believe it's anything at all. He said, but let's do a biopsy just to be safe. They do the biopsy. The lady comes in, sticks the needle in, gets the biopsy, walks out of the room. He said, Tom, she wasn't gone 2 minutes. She was back in the room. Said, you've got metastatic cancer. You just don't know. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. And, you know, our witnessing should have that same concern and compassion, folks. And that same conviction. If we're not convinced that's the truth, we're not going to be as concerned as we need to be, and we're not going to be as compassionate as we ought to be. The sixth trumpet's going to sound. God is going to judge. but it's not sounding right now. It's a good time to get right with God, isn't it? Because one of these days, folks, all they're going to hear is a trumpet. And all they're going to feel is pain and punishment. Because God is a God of His. Sarah had the child. Lot got out. His wife turned to salt. God is a God of His word. And when He says, when the sixth trumpet sounded, it's going to sound. And then we come to chapter 10. I'll start it. That's good. You can teach next week.
No, you did too good a job.
Well, chapter 10 says this. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. This is all part of the sixth trumpet now. This is all, it's not stopped. This is just another image that John sees. And what happens at the seventh trumpet? It's over. Thank you. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right hand upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice. And when a lion roared, as when a lion roareth, and he cried, seven thunders heard their voice. When the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up these things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and sware by him that liveth forever, who created heaven, and things that are in, and earth, and the things that are therein, and the sea, and the things that are therein, that there should be no more delay. It's over. As they say in Massachusetts, it's over. I'll pick up there next week.